Looking forward to the day that Jesus returns. We have everything to gain. John chapter 1. Some of you are looking at your clock. So every anniversary we have the same issue. So just don't look at your clock, your watch, your smartphone. And if you'll give me 20 minutes, this is normally what we do on Anniversary Sunday, I will be done. 20 minutes. You can put a timer on if you want, but don't look at your clock. We started a series of messages a few weeks ago on the Gospel of John. And we're going to attempt to continue to go verse by verse through the Gospel of John over the next probably several years, 2 or 3 years. I am going to shorten my verses today and cover verse 4 and 5. It's John chapter 1, but I'm going to read through verse 13. John chapter 1, let's start in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. They just sing about John the Baptist a while ago. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Notice the capital L there. That all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We'll call this sermon title today, The Light Introduced. The Light Introduced. Next Sunday we'll do The Light Explained. The Light Introduced. So we see here the introduction of the light. And we'll pray and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we again come to you, opening your word to hear from you. And I pray this morning you'd hide me behind the cross. Calm my nerves, Lord, and we'll just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday we preached the first three verses. We talked about the Word, and capital W-O-R-D is speaking of Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is the Word. He is Amen. The living Word. We have the written Word that's in your lap or on your phone this morning, but Jesus Christ is the living Word. And Jesus Christ came to this world. It says there that the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. It said that Christ made all things, that He was the primary one of the Godhead to create the universe, that He was the one who primarily was that did that, who created the universe. And so I want to just back up. So we think about the light. If we're going to follow in the steps of Jesus, that's the name of the series, Following in the Steps of Jesus, that we first meet Him at creation. It is Christ who steps out onto nothing and who created everything. It is Jesus Christ who stepped out on nothing and created everything. Ex nihilo, from nothing. He created the entire universe. And again, we know from the scriptures of where we came from. God created all things. And in Genesis 1:1, just by reason of explanation, that word in the beginning, God created, that word God there in the Hebrew is plural, speaking of the Godhead. All three parts of the Godhead were involved, but Jesus Christ in creating, but Jesus Christ was the primary agent of the Godhead creating on the first day. So we have the light. Remember, He says, and let there be light the first day. Let there be light. That light, I believe the Bible teaches, is Jesus Christ. The sun, moon, and stars were created on the fourth day. The light on the first day was the glory of God. It was Jesus Christ. And when you heard the voice, let there be light, that voice was Jesus Christ, as He, by His Word, and we covered those verses last week, by His Word created all things. So the light shows up there on the very first day. I wanted to tell some funny stories about snipe hunting and some other things, but I don't have time. My older brother did take me snipe hunting one time, and it was dark. But I can tell you for sure, I was thankful there was a couple of stars that made it through the clouds, and I could find my way back to the farmhouse. But my older brother was mean. 4 years older than me, he was absolutely mean. My dad should have whooped him for that. How many of y'all know what snipe hunting is? Raise your hand. Okay, most of you. How many of y'all have no clue what snipe hunting is? Okay. Brother Ross? You take your son snipe hunting. Would you take care of that? Would you educate him? It requires potato sacks. Okay, I wasn't going to give the illustration. I did anyway. Boy, it was dark out there when my brother left me in the middle of nowhere. I was so thankful for a little bit of light. And so we have the introduction of the light as we think about Jesus Christ on that very first day. Amen. If you follow in the steps, you'll find that he was there on the first day of the creation as light. And again, we're not saying he is light, but we're saying he emanates as light. All right, we're not pantheistic. Jesus is not. Anyway, so he emanates himself as light. And we follow through. We find Jesus. We find the same light leading them out of Egypt. Remember, fire by day, cloud by day, fire by night. That same light we find on Mount Sinai. That same light we find in the wilderness wandering for 40 years. We find that same light that came and dwelt in the tabernacle. We find that same light that came and dwelt in the temple that King Solomon built. That light there in the tabernacle in the temple dwelt between there on top of the mercy seat, on top of the Ark of the Covenant, mercy seat on top of the Ark of the Covenant, and between the two cherubs whose wings faced each other, the Shekinah glory dwelt there on top of that mercy seat. The light. The light. The physical manifestation, if you would, of the presence of God. And that's why the Jews, if you read in the Old Testament, had put so much stock in the Ark of the Covenant. They felt like they could do anything. Remember, they took it out to war one time, thought, well, we'll just take the Ark of the Covenant with us. God will never allow anything to be taken, never allow the Ark of the Covenant to be taken. And sure enough, the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant. They brought it back real quick. Well, they kept it for 7 months, and then they decided, we better return this thing before our entire nation gets destroyed. That physical manifestation of the presence of God was there. As the children of Israel became more and more pagan, and they began to worship idols, and God began to judge them, and he sent nations to judge them, and all these things happened. We find in the book of Ezekiel, you can read it later on, in chapters 9 and chapters 11, that Shekinah glory in the temple departed from the temple. At first, it departed out of the Holy of Holies and came there to the door of the temple. Then it departed from the door of the temple to the gate of the city. And then it departed from the gate of the city out into the mountains, and it was gone. The light departed. The light there on the first day of creation, the light that was there leading them in the wilderness, the light there that dwelt in the temple, because of Israel's sin, because of their idol worshiping, because of their paganness, God's physical manifestation or his presence with them departed. But that's not the end of the story. Amen. You can read Isaiah. We don't have time this morning. We won't take the time. But if you want to write it down, Isaiah chapter 9. And you can read Isaiah's prophecy concerning the light returning. He speaks of the light returning. So when we're reading here in John, and John the Baptist says, I am not the light, but I was sent to bear witness of the light, that all through me might believe. That light, capital L-I-G-H-T, that light, it's capitalized because it's speaking of the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 9. The Jews knew that there's a prophecy concerning the light. There's going to be a light return. That Shekinah glory is going to return. Guess who else knew that? The wise men. You say, well, how did the wise men who were there in the east, how did they find out? They had the scriptures. Daniel, others there in Babylon who had the scriptures, spoke of this light that would return one day. And so the wise men were looking for the light to return. And they said what? We see his star in the east. Tell us where he's at, that we may come and worship him. And so we have the light returning. Amen. The light returning. We know Jesus Christ is that light. He said, I am the light of the world. We see there on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Mount of Transfiguration, just a little peek of the Shekinah glory, just a little peek of his glory came out, the light. We see Saul on the road to Damascus. Saul, who was a religious leader and was breathing out threatenings against the church and was again consenting to the martyrdom of Stephen and was persecuting the church, and he was on his way to Damascus, and suddenly a bright light, as bright as the noonday sun, interrupted his trip. And he beheld and he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And the Lord said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. It was Jesus Christ speaking to him. Bright as the noon. In fact, it was so bright that it affected his eyes. And from then on out, Saul, who became Paul, God changed his name, had an eye problem. In fact, he asked for the Lord to remove it three times, and the Lord didn't remove it. And that's why his grace is sufficient. Amen. The light. There was Saul. Then the light, Paul. And then you can go on to John, there on the Isle of Patmos, who saw the Lord, again, bright as the noonday sun. And then the Bible says in the New Jerusalem in heaven, there'll be no need for the sun, moon, or stars, because the Lamb will be the light thereof. That's the light. The light spoken of here. Look at verses 3 and 4. It speaks about, or 4 and 5, it says, in him was life. Speaking of Jesus Christ, in him was life. In John 8, Jesus said this. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Understand that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 14, he says that. He says, I am the way. Jesus Christ's own words. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He did not say he was the best way or part of the way in order to get to heaven. He said, I am the only way, emphatically the only way. And Jesus Christ said, I'm the only way to heaven. But he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The life. In him was life, verse 4. Understand that we are born spiritually dead. We are born dead in trespasses and sins, the Bible says. Again, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, when God put man in the Garden of Eden, he said to him he could not eat of a specific tree. He said, if you ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he said, for in the day that ye eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Thou shalt surely die. Well, we know in the next chapter, Genesis chapter 3, that Adam partook of the fruit. Eve, his wife, took of it because she was deceived, but Adam took of it willfully. That's why the New Testament tells us that in Adam all die. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Death passed to us because of our father, great, 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 great father, Adam, and that sin, that death has been passed to us. When Adam took of the fruit of the tree of the Garden of Eden, of the knowledge of good and evil, did he physically die? Did he cease to exist? The answer is no, he did not cease to exist. So it can't be speaking of a physical death when the God said to him, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. It's speaking of a spiritual death. A spiritual death. In fact, Revelation says that death and hell will cast the lake of fire. This is the second death, speaking of hell. But in Adam, all die. We are born, again, spiritually dead. John chapter 3, verse 36, the Bible says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. So, we understand from the Bible that we are born dead in trespasses and sins. That we've all sinned. That we've all been guilty of being selfish at some point in our life. Sin is selfishness. That we are naturally selfish. You don't have to teach a child to take another child's toy. A child is naturally selfish. I know humanists say, well, everybody within is naturally good. That's false. The Bible says the heart's deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? No, you've got to teach a child the opposite. You've got to teach them good, and you have to discipline them, and sometimes, combination of discipline and reward to get them to understand that they ought to do right, to be selfless with their compadres. My brother was mean to me. Beat me up and stuff. It wasn't very selfless until I got big enough to whoop him. And then it changed. No, we were both selfish growing up, right? Because that's what we are naturally. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all come short of the perfection of God. He is holy. He is above all. We come short of that righteous standard. Oh yeah, you might be better than your next door neighbor, morally speaking. But that's not the line. That's not the gauge That's not the standard. Your neighbor's not the standard. The deacons in this church are not the standard. God's the standard. And because we cannot meet up to His standard, the Bible says that we are under the penalty of that sin. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. It's life through His Son. He is life. That's what verse 4 says. In Him was life. In Him we have and can have eternal life. In Him we can have forgiveness of sins. In Him we can have that spirit quickened, made alive, as Paul spoke about in Ephesians. See, everybody, all mankind is born empty. All mankind is born with a void in their life. All mankind is looking for a level of fulfillment to fill the void in their life. Many, many reach out to in various ways to fill the void. Some do reach out to drugs and alcohol. Some reach out to entertainment. Some reach out to workaholics. Some reach out. There's all these things that people try to do to fill that void in their life. But can I tell you this morning, the only one who can fill the void is Jesus Christ. The only one who can truly make your life fulfilled, to give you meaning and purpose in life, as Jesus Christ. By the way, the void is always filled with something. Light or darkness. Remember also, the soul and the spirit never die. This tabernacle, this tent, Corinthians tells us, Paul tells us, will pass away, but the soul and the spirit will live on. Jesus Christ is life. John chapter 11 verse 25 says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Though he were dead, though she were dead, yet shall he live. Life is found in Jesus Christ. Not only did he give us eternal life, but he gives this life meaning and purpose. Again, I'm not just looking forward to heaven. I'm so thankful that he saved me and gave me new life here and now. Life is worth living. Life was meant to be enjoyed and not endured. And I want to just always repeat that kids were meant to be enjoyed and not endured. Your spouse was meant for you to have enjoyment and not endure. And if you're enduring life and you're enduring your children and you're enduring your job and you're enduring all these things, man, what is that? Come to Jesus. He'll make life worth living. He'll give true contentment in your life. It goes on to say that he's the light, or look there, he says, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. All mankind has some light. Mankind is separated from the animal kingdom. We are not just superior animals. We are not animals. I don't care what Charles Darwin says. We're not just more efficient animals. No, we're mankind. Hello. Amen? Amen. Amen. And God made us individually. It's an amazing thought, because God cares for us. But one of the greatest things that separates us from the animals is the conscience that God gave us. Every person born in this world is born with the law of God, Romans tells us, Paul tells us in Romans, with the law of God stamped upon their heart. A conscience. Doesn't mean the conscience is perfect, because we're selfish by nature. Adam ruined that. But there is a conscience there. By the way, there's a moral awareness. Moral awareness. Can I tell you today, the rejection of God, the rejection of the Creator, is primarily directed at His accountability. The world today doesn't want to be accountable to the Creator and the moral authority. Moral authority. See, the judge down in Tarrant County justice system is not the standard, not the authority. Humanly speaking, I'm just saying, if we make judges and individuals and people the standard, then everybody would have their own standard. It's called moral relativity, right? But see, I have a standard. By the way, this standard tells us to obey are the ones in authority. Amen? So I'm not condoning civil disobedience. But I am saying, this is the standard. I'm going to follow the standard no matter what's politically correct and not politically correct. Whatever the standard says, I'm going to follow. Christ is that light. All men, all mankind have some light. It's been stamped upon their heart. So the Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that they were without excuse. Without excuse. If a person has some light and they want more light, God will give it to them. And God's given light through His creation. Aren't you thankful for that? God's given us light through His Word. And through His Son, Jesus Christ. And Christ dispels the darkness. This world is in darkness. I'm going to have you turn to one verse and I'll be done. And we actually turned to this verse last week. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And look with me in verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We think about the darkness that permeates our society today. And it is Christ who dispels darkness. It is Christ who is the light. We're to be the light as well. He says, I am the light of the world and ye are the light of the world. Here in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians it says, but if our gospel, look at verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And whom the little G-O-D, the God of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest what? The light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Paul says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. I love this verse, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. That phrase, glory of God, means who and what God is. That it is to give us the light of the knowledge of who and what God is in what? The face of Jesus Christ. It is Christ who gives us light. It is Christ who dispels darkness. And those in this world who permeated darkness are blinded by Satan. And the only way that we are to give the gospel and see the light dispelled is by giving them Jesus. Telling them about the light. Tell them of the light. The person of Jesus Christ. The light that departed has returned. 1 John 4, 9 says, in this world, or this was manifested that the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. We have life through Jesus Christ. The light has returned. He is life, Ephesians says. You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. He's made us alive. 1 John 5, verse 11 says, and this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And the wrath of God abideth on him. Do you have life today? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has there been a point in time in your life where you have surrendered to Him? Will you put your faith and trust in Him and Him alone? It doesn't matter if you're a member of a Baptist church. And whether you gave a lot to charity last year. It doesn't matter that your parents were Christians and you were raised in a Christian home. That's not going to get you to heaven. It's not going to get your sins forgiven. It doesn't matter if you're a good moral person, because the standard is God, not your next door neighbor. What matters is, have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you believe that He lived, died, and rose again for your sins, that your sins might be forgiven? I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm thankful at the age of 6 years old I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. My sins were forgiven and I was given life. Amen. I'm thankful today not only was I given eternal life, but I was given life more abundant. If I will just take it. Many Christians today live a life of endurance rather than a life of joy, because they've never taken hold of that abundant life. They never... Jesus said, abide in me, and I in you, and you'll bring forth fruit. Right? Fruit? More fruit, much fruit. May we abide in Jesus Christ and have that abundant life. Not all life, as a Christian, not all life is without pain and trouble. But I'm thankful that I have life, and I have life more abundant, and that I can trust my Savior who is taking me through this life. No matter what comes my way, no matter what happens in this life, I can trust Him. Do you have life today? Let's all stand. A verse of invitation, hymn 534, Cleanse Me. What a great, great old hymn. What a great old hymn. After we pray, Heavenly Father, again, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus, who came and as a light to give us life. Thankful for that life, the eternal life. And I'm thankful for life that's worth living. Lord, if there's someone here this morning who's never received the light of life, God, would you give them courage today to walk out of their chair and come front and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior? Lord, maybe today somebody's just enduring life instead of enjoying life. Lord, may they come to the altar, Lord, and just leave it there. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.